Oh, listeners, you're in for a treat here. We're interviewing Allison Reedy with an intriguing title for her cookbook called The Phone Eats First. And I'm not so sure about that, Allison. I'm going to ask you to to really explain that to me. Why did you call
Okay,
this your cookbook? Go ahead.
so this is something like with Instagram and TikTok, a lot of people are taking pictures of their food now. Like when you go to a restaurant and you order something, there's kind of this saying like, "Oh, hold on, you can't bite into that yet. The phone eats first." And then you take a picture, you post it on your
Oh
social
yeah.
media.
Oh okay. I never. I mean, I know the situation, and yeah, but I didn't know that there was a term for it. Yeah.
There you go. The phone
The
eats first.
yeah. Allison Reedy's on the phone. Peter just joining us. Yeah. The explanation for the title of her book is because so many people are out there taking photographs of their food.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying, you can't eat that yet. First, we're going to photograph it. So that's why the phone eats first. Yeah. Allison, you are, just give our listeners a quick rundown. I mean, you're a professional of food, a professional eater, shall we say.
Yes, that's what I say. I've
Yeah.
been a food journalist and a restaurant critic for probably 15 years now. Here I'm in Denver. And so yeah, I consider myself a professional eater. I eat and I write about it.
Well, I always used to say I eat for a living.
Yes, we're lucky.
As slim as that is. Anyhow. Now, my first question is, I mean, why did you feel that this was important to write this book?
So I kept seeing all these recipes going viral on social media, whether it's on Instagram or TikTok, I guess also even like Facebook, Reddit, and I tried some of them, and they just were not good. They weren't good. Maybe other people like the baked feta pasta, which was a really big viral recipe where you bake a block of feta cheese with tomatoes and pasta. My family, you have to really love feta, and we did not. So that one, not so much for us. But there were all these weird, like viral hacks and different things going around that, maybe weren't the best. And so I decided to kind of put that critical food eye, from being a restaurant critic and that same criteria I use to judge restaurants, and apply that to these viral recipes and find the actually good ones so you don't have to sift through all the bad ones to get to the good ones because there really are some great ones.
Yeah, well, I mean, you obviously had to go through quite a lot of recipes to come up with this list.
Yeah, we made a lot of things we didn't love, but we had a lot of fun. My family, they get to be the taste testers for all of these things. So it's fun for us.
And well, you ended up with 50
Yes.
social media best recipes to feed your feed and then yourself. What were some of your criteria?
I mean, honestly, it was just what is delicious? What tastes good? I also looked at like what's pretty on the plate since we're talking about the aesthetics of taking photos of the dishes. But I mean, just like when I'm reviewing restaurants, I think taste is paramount. Like, does it taste good? If it doesn't taste good, it's not gonna make it into the book.
Now, you had to narrow them down. Did you automatically eliminate them? What
Yeah,
made
like
you automatically? Yeah.
so we
What would
did
make you eliminate
eliminate.
one? The what?
So there are some really strange recipes and cooking techniques, we'll call it, on TikTok and Instagram. So, for example, like cooking steak in a jar, that's something that went viral. That for me, no, not so much. There was like this mustard and watermelon trend. And
oh, no, that was just god awful.
Yeah, so there's things like that that just automatically got eliminated. And then the other one, you know, we would, if it sounded good, we would give it a try. We'd have it for dinner. We'd make it for dessert.
Right. Were these mainly new flavors, new cooking, new anything for you?
Some of them were. A lot of them were. I mean, a lot of these that have gone viral are kind of just different takes on food we already know. Like, an example of that would be lasagna soup, and that was a huge viral recipe. And it's lasagna, but made into soup. So it's the same flavors, it's the same ingredients, but it's a little bit quicker and easier to make than a traditional lasagna. So, like, that one wasn't really new to me at all. Same thing with, like, there's a viral chopped sandwich where it's a sandwich, but instead of putting, you know, a slab of turkey and cheese and a thing of lettuce or a slice of tomato, you chop it all up into bits so that in every bite you get every bit of the ingredients. You get the turkey, the cheese, the lettuce, tomato, everything. And so that was just a new way of thinking about dishes we already know. But there were probably some new ones in there. Like one of the desserts is Dalgona coffee chocolate cake. And the Dalgona coffee, like that was a new, kind of a new flavor to me from the pandemic, where during, like, in 2020, in the early days, like, a lot of people were making this Dalgona coffee, which is, I think it's, like, it started in Korea, and it's, like, this whipped coffee, and it was really good. And she, the recipe creator for that particular recipe, she uses the Dalgona coffee in the frosting, and it just plays really well with that chocolate cake.
I mean, some of these are actually not terribly way out there. They're kind of classics.
No, yeah, there are some total classics that just went viral for whatever reason. I mean, they're just different takes on things you already know. Like there's brownies, but they're cosmic brownies. So they're just frosted and have sprinkles on top, essentially. Or there's like a creamy lemon garlic chicken with gnocchi that went viral. There's a beef stew. There's meatballs. Meatballs, the internet had a huge love affair with meatballs for a while there. So they're not all like crazy things at all. They're just really good, solid recipes that maybe have a slight twist to them.
Yeah, like red velvet cupcake cookies. I mean,
yeah, those are so good.
Yeah. I did think it was kind of odd to look at brown butter Rice Krispie treats.
That's my daughter's very favorite recipe in the whole book. Yeah, like why did those go viral? I mean, I guess there could be a million answers to that question of why somebody latches on to something. I kind of think with those, with the Rice Krispie treats, it was like the internet also loves a picture of, say, when you're pulling cheese, and so you get that stringy, melty cheese, and it's kind of the same with a Rice Krispie treat. When you pull it apart, you kind of get those marshmallow strings, and it's really appealing. Like, you see that, and you want to eat it immediately, and so I think maybe that's why that recipe went viral, is because the photos of it on TikTok and Instagram looked so good.
No, I mean, I think one of the most peculiar recipes visually is your ridiculously garnished Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Explain what that is to me.
So that was me making fun of these. You might have seen them. You might have gone out to brunch. And these Bloody Marys are just, they're garnished with the most ridiculous things, like a fried chicken leg or a cheeseburger or like a whole skewer of shrimp. It's just, it's kind of crazy. So I just made fun of it by we put a cheeseburger in it. Like, we just went for it and put everything in my refrigerator on top of this Bloody Mary.
Exactly.
Because it's just so ridiculous. Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah. Did you encounter anything really new that sparked your imagination?
Gosh, I'm sure I did. I mean, so many of these things were new. Like, so another drink is the creamy lemonade, which is, I don't think it's new because it's a take on Brazilian lemonade, which is made with limes. But it's essentially just, it's lemon juice, water, and then for the sweetener, you use, instead of sugar, it's sweetened condensed milk. And you just mix it all together really good. And that was totally new to me because, you know, lemonade to me is like, it's a clear, light drink. And this is not clear because of the sweetened condensed milk, but it's the exact same flavors, but just presented in a different way. So that one was new to me for sure.
Well, the Latin American community as a whole has this love for condensed milk in cans.
I didn't hear the first part of that.
Well, the Latin community as a whole and across the world, it seems to me, has a love affair with sweetened condensed milk.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's like that's where the Brazilian came from then.
Probably. Yeah. Now, I remember that when I was in college, the Brazilian students used to use can after can of that condensed milk.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, see, now I just, I learned something.
Sometimes not even up
in
the can.
It's totally new to me, the whole using condensed milk like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wonder why you would include smash burgers, since it's pretty much part of the contemporary fast food category now.
So the smash burgers, that's probably the one thing that my family and I make the absolute most. And I think, so in a way, that one's kind of special to me because I was such a holdout for the longest time. I wondered, why on earth would you smash the burger? Like, if you're smashing the beef, aren't you going to lose all the juices and lose all the flavor? And it just seems so stupid. And then I tried it, and we won't go back. Like, that's the only way we make burgers now, is we smash them. And I think it almost, like, locks in the juices, and it's delicious. And it kind of gives it a caramelized little crust on each patty. And we're obsessed. We make the smash burgers probably, like, once a week now.
But, no, I mean, I'm still curious about what qualifies these inclusions in some of these. Now, I mean, I was raised on stuffed artichokes, Sicilian stuffed artichokes. So what's new about this?
I mean, that's the thing, is, like, a lot of these recipes, they're not new. They're just simply things that have gone viral on social media because a recipe creator, you know, they put their take or their spin on the recipe, posted it, and for whatever reason, and there are a few, like, standard reasons that I can go over why I think they go viral, but they did. People just kind of latched on to those recipes, and they went crazy. And, yeah, like, the stuffed artichokes, that's something that has been around forever. Shakshuka. What's another one?
Accordion potatoes is another one.
Yeah, accordion potatoes. But they went viral, or like the different take, the different spin on the sandwiches. They went viral, and so I think, like, looking through, I've kind of come up with, because a lot of, like, why would beef stew? Why would this woman's beef stew go viral? Like, I've kind of thought about it. And I think there are three reasons that a recipe could go viral. And one of them is kind of the thing we spoke on a little bit before, which is, like, it's something new and different. It's a new spin. It's a hack, like the chopped sandwich, where you're just presenting it in a totally different way. And you're like, oh, why didn't I think of doing that? And I think the accordion potatoes is a similar one to that. It's like, why didn't I think of, chopping the potatoes and then putting the cheese through every single little slice so that you get the cheese into every crevice of the potato, as opposed to, just a baked potato and, cutting it just in half and slapping it on there. But besides like the hacks and the cleverness, I think the other reason something goes viral is if it's really beautiful, if it's just a really beautiful food that people are going to like and share it just because it's so gorgeous. And then the third thing I think is if it taps into nostalgia. I think nostalgia is really appealing to people, especially if you think back to foods from your childhood, maybe foods that you haven't thought about in a while. I think that nostalgic dishes get a lot of love on social media as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a recipe from Deb Perlman, who we've interviewed a number of times here from Smitten Kitchen, it
Oh yeah, I
is
love
bagels
Deb.
and cream cheese board. It's been around for a millennia.
Well, that one's a little different. That actually is a so that's a reference to the butter board. That was her take on the butter board from 2020.
Oh, okay.
So that one is kind of new. So in I'd say I think it was 2020, 2021, butter boards took off, where people were just slabbing butter and like smearing it all over a platter and then dipping into it, which is kind of gross if you think about it, especially during the pandemic. And so Deb, the Smitten Kitchen blogger, her take on that was she created a bagel and cream cheese board. And so that was her like little riff on that butter board trend, where she, instead of using butter, she smeared the cream cheese all over and then also added like the lox, maybe some sliced cucumber, some tomatoes, some onion, and then toasted up the bagels.
Now, did you actually talk to these people that you
Yeah,
that
they
you
all had
made
to
the
like
recipe?
sign something saying we could use the recipe. Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that answer.
Oh, yes, yeah. They've all, yeah, everyone who's in the book, they signed, we had to have recipe releases signed and everything saying that we could use the recipes in the book.
Did you find anything interesting or any common denominator in the people who spend their time creating these and posting them?
Oh, that's a good question. Gosh, I haven't really thought about that, but I would say there do tend to be more women who are doing this, more women food influencers on social media. And I'd say while there are some older people doing it, like my very favorite contributor was an older woman, there I would say it does tend to be probably women in their 20s and 30s.
He said, "Rather, you wanted something. You want to say something?"
Yeah, I usually get to say a little bit of something before I get drowned out by people who know much more about food than I do. But I'm recalling some, I think it was a famous chef who fell in love with cream cheese in Philadelphia. You remember who that was?
No.
There was somebody who was like Julia Child. I mean, it wasn't Julia Child, but there was someone like that who you wouldn't have thought would opine that cream cheese was the best thing in the whole world. But there are people out there like that.
Right. And
And well, that's all I had to say. I'm giving you your microphone back.
I think everyone has their guilty pleasures, right?
I don't usually get to, I usually don't get to say anything.
You do too. That's ridiculous.
That's why I'm passing it along.
Yeah, I mean, some of these photographs are arresting. I mean, like, I'm hesitant to say this. I mean, but your Cajun corn ribs, the photograph is pornographic almost.
I'll have to look at that one. Let me turn to that.
When can you look at it? I would love your response.
Is it like dripping with the, because of the shape of the corn. I see what you're saying now.
Page 66.
Yeah. That's actually my daughter holding the corn.
I just thought it was a little racy.
I see where your mind is.
Oh, dear. Now, we talked about some of the people who create these, but what about who did you have in mind when you wrote the book as the user of the book?
So I think I guess I'm always kind of writing for myself and for people like me. So I am not, like we talked about earlier, I'm a professional eater. I'm not a professional cook. And so this is kind of for people who are like me, where they're, you know, they have to cook dinner. You have to make dinner, but you're not maybe a super talented chef. So they're all pretty accessible recipes. And it's also for people who are just kind of curious about trying some different things, because maybe you've made, you know, the same meatballs or the same casserole over and over again, and you're looking to just get out of your comfort zone a little bit and try something new and different to shake things up. And so that's who I'm always thinking of, is like just people like me who love food, who want it to be kind of simple when you're making it yourself. You know, you don't have hours to make dinner each night. And you also may not have like super professional techniques. You're a normal, you know, cooking mortal like myself. And so that's always who I'm thinking of, is just people who love food, want to try something different, and accessible recipes, something that you could actually do at home.
Well, I mean, you came up with an interesting assortment, a cross-section of different levels of interest in cooking and food. I mean, from the really traditional tastes and flavors and appeal, to some really off-the-wall things.
I think that's kind of reflective of the internet, right? If, like, there is some pretty basic traditional things that have gone viral that people like, but then there's some really crazy things too. And so I wanted the book to be reflective of all viral recipes and from things from different parts of the world. But also, you know, not be too out there that you can't just find something that you'd want to eat for dinner.
Well, what's next? That's always a question. Usually we get it from somebody before we bring it up into the program. But seriously, you covered just about everything in the whole world of extravagant food, but there must be something that you left out.
Oh, I'm sure there's a ton of things I left out, and I'm sure there'll be, you know, even more things that have gone viral since I wrote this book, because, you know, the internet, it moves so fast. Social media and trends, they move so fast. I think there's something I've been seeing, the new viral thing is like these onion chips, and those actually look really good, so that's on my list to try next. But yeah, there will always be.
Yeah, Peter would like those.
Yeah, I want to. They sound pretty good.
Peter would like the onion chips, I know. Where is it all? I mean, I'm getting curious about who spends all this time. I mean, I'm even curious about our podcast. I mean, you know, I read the statistics on it, and I mean, mainly they used to run about an hour. And I can see if it's maybe somebody traveling to work, commuting, something like that. But there's so many people, you know, I mean, it's like well over a million hits. I mean, who are these people?
Some of these people, that the recipe creators, they have tens of millions of followers. I mean, some of these people are just huge. They're massively influential, more so than traditional media, I think, now. And I've heard that from restaurants. Like, if there's a, you know, if an Instagrammer posts about, say, a new taco restaurant and they have 500,000 followers, they're going to get more people in than, like, the Denver Post if they wrote a story. So these recipe creators, they're hugely influential now with what we eat.
But, you know, if you're listening to podcasts, I mean, it's time-consuming. I mean, who has the time to do all that?
I would say a lot of people do maybe while they're working. You know, they just put something on kind of in the background to listen to while they're working, or maybe in the car, maybe waiting to pick up kids. That's when I listen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel the same, actually even more so, about people who watch all the food programs on television. I mean,
yes, there are
how
so
do you
many.
Fit that into your life?
I know, and I can't keep up. There's so many now.
Right, and I mean, you'd have to spend most of your life doing that. Well, Allison Reedy, you're not going to be able to analyze who all these people are, but you certainly made a splash with your book here. Again, listeners, it's Allison Reedy, and it's The Phone Eats First Cookbook. And now I can, since you explained to me what that means, I remember being in restaurants before it got to be fashionable and how you had to really sneak to take photographs. Some restaurants even forbade the taking photographs. Now you have to kind of elbow your way through the dining rooms because there's so many people standing up taking photographs of their food.
Yes, it's so mainstream now. It's funny.
Yeah. Anyhow, I thank you. I wish you a lot of success with your book.
Thank you.
And keep us in mind for your next book. And I'm going to ask Peter to say goodbye since he doesn't get to talk much. Here he is.
I just wanted to give you a slightly offhand suggestion for maybe your next book and the book after that. When you're in Australia, the dish you will crave the most has in it
what?
Beetroot. and fried eggs. The fried eggs go on.
I've never been to Australia.
Some quirky foods there, I can assure you.
Yeah.
That's one that everyone has. If you go out to the pub after work, that'll be something that you'll enjoy. It's just the way things are out there. And I can vouch for that since I spent 7 years with such delicacies as the one I've just described for you.
Oh, dear. Again, Allison Reedy, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Again with your new project.
Awesome. Thank you.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.